You're listening to English for Everyone. Tweet us and follow us on Instagram at EU Radio English. And find us on Facebook, EU Radio Nantes English.
101.3 FM.
You're listening to English for Everyone with me, Benna Flynn. Today I have on the phone Bill Botting, whose fantastic country indie pop album Better Friends was last week's album of the week. It came out on March the 10th on Fika Recordings. And it was recorded by Bill Botting and the Two Drink Minimums. Bill, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Benedict. It's great to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the phone. And you've moved back to Australia now. That's where you are now, is that right?
That's right. I am here in Tascot in New South Wales in Australia. It's been quite a culture shock. Yeah, after 10 years in London, it's a strange place to come back to.
Yeah. So that's basically it now. You've wrapped up Bill Botting, the Two Drink Minimums, just before or just after releasing the debut album.
That's right. You know, in fact, we flew to Australia the day before it was released. I do plan on coming back at some point and getting the gang back together again, like the Blues Brothers. But I have to do some time here first.
Okay. I was going to ask, does it feel like you've fled the kind of waves of reception from the album? I was going to ask it how it's going post-release, but you're now on the other side of the world. So what's that like?
It's really strange. I don't really know how it's going, to be honest, because all I've been thinking about for the last last fortnight basically is how to get over jet lag and how to help my kids get over jet lag. It's kind of a strange thing to think about, because I definitely have been wanting to know what people think about it, but it's kind of it's just sort of hard to be on the same page as everybody back in London, you know.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that from what I can see, it's been very well received. And we here have received it very well. We like it very much, and we're playing it. We played it all of last week, twice a day, and we'll continue to play it in our own free time and on the radio, outside of the album of the week constraints. So, yeah, it's fantastic. It's a lovely kind of... Is it fair to say it's more kind of folky than your stuff with Allo Darling? Folky country influences, tracks like New UN that are clearly have got this kind of twang to it. I think that's fair to say.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, when I was trying to describe it to people, I always used to say that it was indie with a country heart. Right. And I guess part of the thing is I started listening to a lot of Willie Nelson a few years ago when I started writing for it. Because Allo Darling was kind of on a break, I guess. we'd finished a really long tour, and nobody was really interested in doing any music for a little while. Okay. And except I was. So I just decided to start writing. And at the time, I was listening to stuff like. Yeah, Kris Kristofferson and Willie Nelson, and and it just sort of made its way into the stuff that I was writing, and I liked how that worked. there's definitely it's definitely fair to say that there's a country feeling to it all.
If you follow your train, you can tell that you're clearly always needing to create. You have a Mustache Insanity, Allo Darling, then Bill Botting, Two Drink Minimums. In terms of getting people to play with you, it looks like, on paper, it looks like quite a fun experience. You've got great guys like Johnny Helm on the drums, Paul Raines, Darren Heyman. It seems like a very sociable environment that's brought about this record. You went on tour with Wave Pictures, is that right, a couple of times?
That's right, yeah. We went touring with the Wave Pictures all around America and all over Spain. And we used to play with them quite a lot in London as well. So we got to be like really good friends with all of those guys. They're such a great band. You know, I think I saw them in the almost 11 years that I was in London. I would have seen them literally hundreds of times. And I never once sort of thought, oh, I'm getting a bit tired of these guys. They're just too good. They're so amazing.
They are ridiculously good. they came for a live session here a few weeks ago, and they played here in Nantes.
Amazing.
It was unbelievable the way they kind of orchestrated the live set, and it just flows from start to finish. Do you think that influenced you at all, and the kind of importance of having a really really good live set? Do you think touring with them at all changed your kind of outlook? Or, I mean, it's obviously important to be good live. I mean, did hanging out with them change the way you looked at stuff?
Definitely, yeah, it really did. I always used to, so when we were playing with them in America, I remember that the thing that amazed me most about them is that night after night, they never played the same set twice. You know, they would have some songs that they would play, you know, in most of their sets, but they would absolutely just decide, you know, when they began, they decided what the first song was going to be, and then when that was done, they decided what the next song was going to be. It was kind of entirely spontaneous and led by the room and the situation that they were in. And that's not really possible for most bands. A lot of bands just have to know what they're going to be doing because they, you know, really, you know, plan it out. Mm. And Al O'Dowan was sort of a bit like that. We could improvise to an extent, but we definitely needed to know what we were going to be doing. But playing with them, I realized that was much more how I wanted to be as a musician. I really liked the casualness of it, if that's a word. And so, you know, when I was putting a band together to make the record, and initially it wasn't even going to be sort of my band. Me and my sister were asked to do to contribute a 7-inch for the Where It's At Is Where You Are 7/7 compilation.
Right.
And the idea was that it's collaborations. So it was me and my sister Hannah collaborating. But we wanted to, rather than just have the two of us on the record, we wanted to have a band. So I thought, who would be the best band I could think of? And Tom from Hannah's band, Tom Wade on the bass, and Johnny on the drums, and Paul from Al O'Dowan on the guitar. And that was the original group.
That's genius. It's great. It really works.
Yeah, it's so much fun to play with these guys. And so the other thing about the Two Drink Minimums was that the band that made the record of the people that were there that weekend that we went and recorded it, but the actual sort of members of the group really expanded and contracted a lot. I think out of all of the shows that we've played, we've had sort of some core members of the group, but I'd say that the exact same lineup really only ever played, you know, once or twice. Because if Paul couldn't make it, then we would ask if Dave Tattersall would come and play guitar.
What a backup!
Yeah, exactly. It's good to have sort of guns for hire like that.
Yeah.
And similarly, Johnny would be out of town with the Wave Pictures, so we would get our friend Dominic Bryder to come and play drums, and who's another amazing drummer. And if they were both in town, we would actually have both of them coming and playing. So that was one of my favorite things in the last few shows. We had two drummers for most of the sets, which was a lot of fun. Fun enough times?
It was so good.
it's
a fun record. And you've got massive, kind of more pumped up tracks, like Treating You Right Way. You've got Hannah doing backing vocals and stuff. And then you go right down to tracks like The Rug, where it's very serene. I love that song, by the way. I like the idea.
Oh, thank you.
It's nice.
Yeah, that was one of the first ones I wrote. I remember sort of sitting in the living room of our flat in London, and I could see into our neighbour's flat from out of our window, and you could see that they were watching their massive television, because you know that sort of strange light when a TV is the only light source in a room and everything sort of turns a strange blue.
Yeah.
And it kind of got started from there. It was the seed for that one.
Well, it's great.
That's one of my favourites, actually.
Cool. Good. Oh, that's nice. I was going to ask why the because the cover of Graceland features on the disc. I was going to ask why that. Obviously, it's a great song, but why that song in particular?
Well, I love that. I love that song. I love that record, that Paul Simon record. I think Paul Simon's probably one of my favourite, you know, artists. And I used to listen to Graceland when I was a kid. Whenever my family went on a big long drive somewhere, which in Australia, just about every drive that you do is a big long drive. So I've got all these memories of travelling from Brisbane down to Melbourne over sort of 3 or 4 days in the car. And it was the only cassette that we had. And I think we had that one and possibly a Linda Ronstadt tape as well.
All right.
And we would just get those two over and over and over again. So it was a big record for me. But then I actually heard the Willie Nelson version of Graceland just by chance. I think I mentioned before I've been listening to him a lot. It came up somewhere. And I remember thinking that, you know, wow, there's this other version of this song and it's different, but it's the same. And I didn't think that you could cover Paul Simon because it was all just too unique, you know, particularly that record with the whole you know, the jive African sound. But then I heard this Willie Nelson version, I thought, oh, you can, there's still, you know, there's still just songs that have bones underneath them. And I just decided, well, we would do it too, let's do it as a song for the set, because we weren't necessarily going to make a record when we got started. It was just, we were playing some shows, and I don't think we had enough songs to do a full set, so I decided that would be a good one to throw in there, and it stuck. I felt like we always did it really well, and it began to feel like it was one of our songs, so it didn't feel weird putting a cover on the record. Because I know people don't tend to put the covers on their records anymore, but I think in the old days they used to do it all the time.
Well, it fits in very well. It fits in very well with the kind of jangliness of the whole album. It doesn't kind of break out or jump out at you, which also says a lot for the quality of the songwriting on the rest of the album, surely. So what's next? I mean, you've just released this album. You've just buggered off to Australia. But what are you looking at beyond then?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is adjust and figure out what it's like to be back in this country that I used to call home. It's funny, when I started talking to people here, and I kept on saying, "Oh, back home," and there. They're not sure whether I'm referring to back at home in Brisbane, where I'm originally from, or back at home in London, where I've been calling it home for the last 10 years. But once the fog lifts of that move, I think I'll start to work out if there's another version of the Two Drink Minimums that lives here in Australia.
Cool.
What I'd really like to do is just kind of convince everybody to come on over here and we can do all of our shows for Australian people, because I think if I could get the Wave Pictures to come to Australia, they would be very well received.
What, forever? You can't do that. That's not...
Well, no, not forever, just for for a holiday.
All right,
a working holiday.
Deal. Nice. No, they deserve, yes. you and they deserve to be heard by everyone, so yeah, that's fair enough. I love this kind of collective, I guess you can call that, with everyone. It's just like top musicians. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's been so much fun. And, you know, we had our last show I'm going to go back to the Wave Pictures again. When we were touring in Spain with them, we actually had a little TV that was in our van, and we had a DVD of the Last Waltz, which was the last show by the band. And Martin Scorsese made a film about it. It's just a concert movie. But the idea is it was their last show, and they got all of the big sort of showbiz pals to come and play with them. So they got Joni Mitchell and Neil Young and Bob Dylan and Van Morrison, et cetera, all these, you know, great, fun people. And it just looked like a really good party. And I always thought that that would be, you know, a great thing to do, even if, you know, the showbiz pals are people like Tiger Cats and the Wastefixers and Darren Heyman. So when we decided that we were going to move back to Australia, I just sort of thought, well, this is my chance to have a show like that and kind of call in favors from all my good friends. And just about everybody that I asked was happy to come and sing and play with us. So we ended up doing two sets on the night. So we did a show with the group where we just played our record, and then we did another set where so Darren came along and we did a Hefner song with Darren Heyman, and we also did a Bee Gees song with him as well, which was really good fun. And although the Wave Pictures came and we did lots of Wave Pictures songs with them, and Emma Cooper from Mammoth Penguins, who we got to know back when she was in Standard Fair, she came and she sang an amazing version of Secondhand News by Fleetwood Mac. Mm. And we did, you know, Dexy's Midnight Runners songs and things like that. We kind of just turned into a wedding band almost, playing lots of party tunes.
Sounds so much fun.
But yeah, it was great. We had, I think at the end we had sort of about 12 or 13 people in the group playing, which that was, you know, quite a special thing for me, because as well as doing the final Allo Darlin show in December last year, which was sort of very sad, it meant that I got to see all my friends play for one last time, which was great. We had, you know, Laura from Tiger Cats was in the band with us as well, and Jack Hayter, who is amazing and plays a beautiful slide guitar. Nice. And Dan Mayfield was playing the violin. So he's I don't know if you know Dan Mayfield. He's in the end of his room and also plays in the Secondary Modern and stuff like that. So it was really brilliant. It was a really fantastic show and a lot of fun. We played for way too long, though. I think we played for about 3 hours. Which was very self-indulgent, but if you're going to do it, you may as well make it the last one, right?
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Right, well, Bill, thanks so much for talking to us. It's been an absolute pleasure. We love the album. We love you, and we'll continue to play your work for the foreseeable future, well, forever. It's great.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Benedict.
That's right.
It's been great talking.
Bye.
You're listening to English for Everyone. Tweet us and follow us on Instagram at EU Radio English, and find us on Facebook, EU Radio Nantes English. 101.3 FM.